Welcome back to Weeknight Mysteries. Again, my name is Yuras, and I'm joined with my co-host Rin.
Hi everyone.
And today we're going to be talking about Luke Durbin's disappearance case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't remember exactly how I came about this one. I don't really remember if someone left a comment or if I found this one. But this is one of those UK cases from the, let's say, mid-2000s that have sparked our interest. We already talked about the Corey McKeague disappearance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was interesting.
You know, with the lorry, the trolley, whatever that thing is called, right? This one is happening in 2006 in May. Luke Durbin, a 19-year-old from Halsey, Suffolk, disappeared under mysterious circumstances after a night out with friends in Ipswich. Despite being described as an easygoing and communicative kid about his whereabouts, Luke's sudden vanishing perplexed his family and authorities alike. His last known location was at Old Foundry Road, situated in the town center, a well-monitored area with CCTV cameras.
Mm-hmm.
The CCTV cameras will play a big role in this case. The road has limited access for both vehicles and pedestrians, making it highly likely that Luke would have been captured on surveillance cameras if he had taken any of those routes. Despite extensive monitoring, there is no recorded evidence of Luke's presence in the area. The absence of any sightings raises questions about his disappearance and adds to the mystery surrounding the case. Today we will be discussing some of the key details from Luke's disappearance.
Let's go for it.
Luke disappeared on May 12, 2006 in Ipswich, Suffolk, England, at the age of 19. He went missing after a night out with friends and was reported missing the following day by his mother on May 13th, 2006. One of his friends named Alex, who was a chef in London at that time, had returned for the weekend, prompting Luke to take time off work. Another friend named Zach also accompanied Luke on that night. Luke lived with his mother Nikki and sister Alicia in Halsey, Suffolk. He was described as an easygoing and affectionate individual. We can see a couple of his family pictures here. I have the notes.
From the pictures, they look really happy.
On the night of his disappearance, Luke rode his motorbike to Alex's place in Woodbridge and planned to spend the night there. He left his motorbike, wallet, keys, phone, and a change of clothes at his friend's house. Allegedly, Luke didn't want to lose these items on the night out that they will be having.
Wait, what is this picture?
Yeah, apparently this is the house. I know, it
looks like a greenhouse or something.
Looks like something from Lord of the Rings. The only thing that kind of is interesting about this is that Luke left his phone, wallet, and keys in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I guess, interesting because he was going out on a night out without these items, you know, no wallet on the night out. That's very strange. It's okay. After some drinks at the local pub, Luke and his friends went to Zest nightclub in Ipswich, where he lost contact with both of them. After arriving to Ipswich, Alex, the chef from London, actually took a taxi back home shortly after, since he had too much to drink, I think maybe in the first pub. And we already have CCTV images of this. So this image right here, this first image that you can see right here.
Yeah.
You can see two boys standing next to like a black taxi cab.
Mm-hmm.
So those two boys are actually Zach and Luke.
Yeah.
And Alex is actually already inside of this cab, the black cab. And the following CCTV image is at Zest entrance. So Zest is this kind of nightclub. I'll talk a little bit about Zest in a little bit. Luke Durbin lost contact with Zach inside of the Zest nightclub After Zach went to purchase drinks, Zach left the Zest nightclub at 1:20 a.m. at night after not finding Luke inside of Zest anymore. So Zach thought that maybe Luke had already left. Yeah. However, it was proven that Luke was still in Zest club at that point. Mm-hmm. And this was corroborated by two girls who had seen or had encountered Luke at 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
After losing contact with Zach at Zest nightclub, Luke was reported at Ipswich train station, which is a 5-minute walk away from the nightclub. So Luke was told that there were no trains running at that time, and he was next spotted on CCTV at around 3:30 a.m. heading to Hawk Express cabs. We do see him on CCTV at 3:30 at the cab place, trying to kind of get a cab to go back home. Now, remember, he left his wallet back in Alex's mom's house place. So the cab person who was still kind of working, because, you know, the cab place probably works 24 hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
The person working at the counter suggested that he called his mother and asked for his bank details.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
But Luke didn't want to wake up his mother
and
decided not to make that phone call. Luke was then seen on CCTV walking across the zebra crossing. And this sighting of Luke near the bus station is the last positive sighting of him before his disappearance. And we can see him. He's right in the corner. You see the CCTV for him? He's right in the corner, in the right-hand corner. And this is the last time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last time Luke has been seen. And this is baffling because the general surrounding around this area, this is the city center of the Ipswich. There's CCTV cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
If he continued walking in any kind of direction, he would have been captured on CCTV. You know how he has been captured previously, like a million times already on CCTV everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So he was supposed to get captured also, but he didn't.
Okay.
A silver or white Volvo 440 with false plates was caught on CCTV and became a primary interest to investigators. Luke's family initially assumed he had gone to work the next day, but after contacting friends and his workplace, they reported him missing. There were three unconfirmed sightings of Luke Durbin. Foxhall Stadium sighting was of an individual matching Luke Durbin's description walking near Foxhall Stadium in Ipswich on May 12, 2006. So on the same day when he went missing. Remember, he was last seen at 4 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah.
This sighting was in the morning hours from 7:30 to 8. This was around 4 hours after Luke's last confirmed sightings. Now, this... So this was reported by one person, I think, and other people didn't report seeing Luke there. So we don't really know how credible the sighting is. And I kind of made a map here of how far away it is from Luke's last known location, Luke's last known location. So it's still in Ipswich, but it's kind of on the outskirts of Ipswich. It's
pretty far.
Like over an hour of walk away.
Interesting
and doesn't really make too much sense.
That's true.
Why Luke would be there. Now, the next sighting was the Durbin Center sighting, which happened the following day on May 13th when he's already missing, you know what I mean? Between 11 and 2 p.m., 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., two witnesses reported seeing Luke in a dark blue Renault Megane being driven by a man near the Durbin Center car park in Woodbridge. This sighting happened the following day in Woodbridge, 8 miles away from Ipswich. The sighting was made by Luke's friends. Law enforcement spent a lot of time investigating this particular lead because some of the friends were dead center, like this was definitely Luke. They really thought it was Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement said that that an additional 9 people who were at that Durbin Center car park did not recall seeing Luke. So we only have a few people seeing Luke.
Yeah, but this one seems to be more credible than the first sighting. Because in the first sighting, we only have one stranger telling us that he or she found or saw Luke, but this one,
it was his actual friend. Yeah,
they would know.
Yeah, and that's why law enforcement spent more time on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sighting in London happened in late March 2007, next year. A former classmate of Luke's reported seeing him outside a theater in Drury Lane, London. This sighting happened almost a year after Luke's disappearance. The person who was seen had a baseball cap on and ran away, almost indicating that he didn't want to be seen.
For the third one, I have more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Because it could be a possibility that he wanted a new life, but at the same time, if he did, then why would he try to go back home?
Why?
Like, go back home the last day he was seen, like after the pub. Because he was in a train station, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, oh my god, you have a very good point. Yeah, it looked like he was trying to get back home.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Desperate.
Yeah, no, that's, and yeah.
He was walking around town, he went from the train station to the taxi or the cabbie center, and the cabbie guy said, go text his mom for the bank details. It generally seemed like he was trying to go back home, but it's kind of contradicting with his third sighting where
of 2011, so this is happening 5 years later,
mm-hmm.
Two individuals were arrested for identity fraud after using Luke's details for online purchases, but they were released later. A man and a woman in the Brixton area of London were arrested. You know, Brixton has this kind of reputation,
mm-hmm.
of having some like pretty violent gangs.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. The arrests were made following an investigation into reports of Mr. Durbin's details being used for online shopping. The arrested individuals were a 29-year-old man and a 24-year-old woman. They were both later released. Suffolk police stated that they were arrested on suspicion of attempting fraudulent acts by misrepresentation.
What does that mean?
You know, like, they represent themselves as Luke Durbin and they make online purchases.
How? Don't they have to know about his bank details?
I have no idea how it works, but you know, in Brixton back in the day, they probably had like all kinds of scams brewing there.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Now, in June 2012, the following year, a 40-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of murder.
Mm.
And a 25-year-old was arrested on suspicion of being involved in the murder of Luke Durbin. Both were later bailed after questioning and a search of their homes. They would have been 34 and 19 in 2006, you know, because they were arrested in 2012,
yeah.
Like minus 6 years. Do the math, it makes sense. In April of 2020, a Channel 5 documentary explored Luke's drug dealing history. Yeah.
Oh.
And his connections to gangs in Brixton, London. It is speculated that he owed money to dealers within this drug network. First, I would like to talk a little bit about Zest Club, where they were.
Okay.
So Zest Club actually closed down the following year. I think on January 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been linked to a large number of offenses and incidents between April and December of 2006, mainly involving varying degrees of violence. On December 9th of 2006,
mm-hmm.
on the same year when Luke disappeared, but like maybe like 6 months later, there was a murder of a man, Jimmo Plunkett, on December 9th. 6 shots were fired, one of which struck Mr. Plunkett, who was found lying outside of the club with gunshot wounds at around 2:20 a.m. in the morning. He died later at the Ipswich Hospital. Police said that Mr. Plunkett himself wasn't associated with gang culture, but now the Zest Club in general was actually attracting a lot of male individuals from London.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular night when Mr. Plunkett was killed, a group of males and females had arrived at 1:34 a.m. and they went inside of the club and a fight broke out. I think a fight broke out between Mr. Plunkett's group of friends and this group of people that came in at 1:34 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
on that December 9th, you know, when Mr. Plunkett was murdered. Now, after a while, the group that arrived at 1:34 a.m., they kind of returned to the club with some guns.
Mm-hmm.
A fight broke out. Mr. Plunkett got shot, stumbled outside the club, is now dead.
Mm.
One of the prime suspects for the murder of Mr. Plunkett was a new crossroad. Was a man named Errol Davis, who was 24. We see his image here.
Mm-hmm.
That this was Plunkett, Mr. Plunkett, this was Errol Davis.
Yeah.
Errol Davis himself was murdered.
Of course.
Was shot while on a night out with friends later on, in somewhere underneath London Bridge Station in the early hours of Sunday 5th of October. But like, I think a couple years later. He was approached by a man who produced a gun and shot him once from close range. It's believed that this was retaliation for the death of Mr. So what I'm saying is that Zest Club had a bunch of gang shit happening all the time. And now Zest Club, because of this reputation, was closed. Actually, right now, the premises have been turned into a high-end office building, believe it or not.
Fancy.
And back in the day, this was a very bad time, especially that 2006. All kinds of gang infestations were kind of rampant in the place. And this is exactly the same time as Luke Durbin, a low-level drug dealer, was at Zest. So what this means that Luke Durbin, if he had problems with people from Brixton, someone at Zest could have seen him and told, yo, pull up, because we have Luke out here and he owes you money. Now, the next day, the chef friend Alex told Nikki, Luke's mother, that Luke had stayed the night at his place. So Nikki did not raise an alarm immediately until later on in the following day, she called Luke's work.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke didn't report for work. That's when she called the police. Alex and Zach got worried. Also, they called Luke's sister and informed her. And then the search for him began. Now, a little bit information about the silver Volvo.
Mm-hmm.
Luke was last seen on CCTV walking across Doghead Street towards the bus station at 4 a.m. as I said earlier.
Yeah.
Now, this Volvo was captured on CCTV on this in kind of very close proximity, like very close, like just down the road a little bit at 4:09 a.m. So 9 minutes later. Okay? Nine minutes later. In December, police released photographs of Volvo 440 similar to the one seen in Ipswich town center during Luke's disappearance. Police had discovered that Volvo mentioned in this investigation was registered with number plate M206LYE. However, upon investigation, they found that the car's registration details, including the name and address of the registered owner, were intentionally falsified or provided inaccurately. This means that the registered information associated with the car did not correspond to the actual owner's true identity or location. So someone had a car and faked
the
whole thing, because this was kind of a car that they used to do bad things with.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want the kind of car to connect back to them. You know, so this is a very shady Volvo.
Yeah, definitely.
And they never found this Volvo, as far as I understand. They were never able to locate it.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And now, this is a very important map. Like, do you see this point number 10, this map right here?
Yeah.
That I made?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of indicates to you. I don't know, maybe you need to kind of zoom in a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you can see, this is Luke, and this is the zebra crossing right here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where he crossed the road at 4 a.m. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And cameras are all over the place. So we don't know how he wasn't caught on camera anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like he was standing here or looking around. And now 9 minutes later, This CCTV camera right here captured a Volvo heading into the direction of Luke Durbin.
Hmm. Do you think it was a coincidence or this Volvo was trailing him all along?
I think that this Volvo maybe wasn't necessarily trailing him, but maybe was looking for him.
Oh, that's also a good point.
You know what I mean? Because it's a shady Volvo.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that Luke Durbin disappears from this area while a shady Volvo drives past?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, first of all, I would like to say that any car driving at 4 a.m.
Definitely shady.
It's probably shady, yeah. Usually, right?
So, or drunk.
Or drunk, yeah. So it's maybe not that. And I don't know how many cars were there. But since police kind of indicates to us that this was, you know, a car that is of interest to us, I think that this is connected. Like, I don't see how this is not connected.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Luke Durbin disappears. There's no CCTV cameras. He must have been picked up by this shady Volvo.
I think so.
Because he would have seen somewhere on the CCTV cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's talk a little bit about Luke Durbin himself. Luke Durbin was involved in County Lines drug dealing, as revealed in previous documentary. County Lines is basically this kind of a drug operation where, you know, drug dealers from big cities like London will send out children or younger kids to sell drugs in the smaller towns via trains.
Oh, he was one of those.
Well, we don't really know how he encountered them because we don't really know where he got his drugs from. So maybe he had a beef with these county line drug dealers. Who knows? Luke himself transitioned from smoking cannabis with friends to dealing drugs by his mid-teens. The documentary also talks about Luke Durbin's disappearance and reveals that he had drug dealing connections in Brixton.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
On the night of his disappearance, Luke finished work at a greengrocer's in the town that he was working at, and then went to do a drug deal in Woodbridge before meeting up with Alex. He did a drug. So maybe that drug deal is not connected, but we know that he was actively drug dealing. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the documentary discloses that Luke was dealing almost every day.
Oh, okay.
Luke and his friends drank in pubs and took cocaine, which is probably, you know, it's hard illegal and it's hard to acquire.
Yeah.
And went clubbing in Ipswich. Luke's mother, Nikki Durbin, believes that someone knows what happened to her son and hopes that the documentary and public awareness may lead to a breakthrough in the case. Luke Durbin's involvement in drug dealing suggests a potential motive for his disappearance, as he may have owed money to individuals within the drug network. And then the Volvo captured on CCTV near the same location where Luke was last seen 10 minutes later was believed to be connected to the drug network and potentially related to Luke Durbin's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically the gist of it. So yeah. Before we kind of jump into the theories, which is like actually a pretty good time to do, like really quickly, like from all this information about Luke Durbin's case so far, what is your line of thinking? Because I don't have anything else to add.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just kind of will talk about the theories for a little bit, but yeah.
It was definitely baffling at first because I thought it was an innocent guy who just disappeared all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But now that you uncovered this drug dealing scheme that he was a part of and all the drug addictions, kind of makes more sense. And I do think that gangs were definitely involved. It was way too clean.
The only piece of information that we don't have is the arrests made in 2012, because they already arrested someone on murder charges.
Durbin?
Yeah, but then released. Remember those two guys?
Yeah.
40-year-old and 25-year-old?
Oh, yeah.
So they already had someone pinned down in 2012, but they didn't kind of push through with that. So I think that's a very interesting thing, kind of the side of the story that we can't really talk about because we don't know the information right now. And then lastly, I would like to say that the Volvo, in my opinion, is super duper connected.
Definitely.
So this is where we're at with the theories. We have a potential theory that... Oh, and by the way, sorry about kind of cutting off here. By the way, on that documentary, the police investigator who was talking, you know what I mean, about the case, he said that he had uncovered info that Luke owed money.
Oh, there we go.
So we have a motive.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Luke is at a very, like, bad club with mm-hmm. a lot of bad people. And he owes money to some other bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how someone calls up.
Oh, yeah.
Or one way or another. Or maybe someone's near, you know what I mean? And then they try to... Now, there are kind of... There are some things that are working against this because, okay, it would make sense, right? But then Luke Durbin is a small-time dealer boy. He's not a big-timer. You know
yeah,
what I
but
mean?
Still...
If he's still working at Green Grocer. How much weight could this guy be moving? You know what I mean?
Still drug money, though.
Yeah, but how much weight? Does this... did he move enough? Did he owe enough money and did he move enough weight to be... so that a murder would be justified? Think about it. A 19-year-old boy kind of dealing here and there small amounts. I mean, we're assuming it's small amounts.
Mm-hmm. Now, but no, he's also dealing every day, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah, every day.
So I don't think it was as small as we think.
Yeah, and potential. And it could be also competition trying to take him out. Because apparently there was also kind of rumors that he was stepping on other people's toes in the drug game and whatever. So... So that's the my main theory that I'm going with. I don't really buy the accident theory or the or the runaway theory. Just we already discussed this.
Yeah.
Make any sense? So I will definitely say that it's drug connected.
Mm-hmm.
There was another interesting theory posed by some people from Ipswich on Reddit, and they claimed that the bouncers ran a network of selling drugs. So the club bouncers were selling drugs in Ipswich at that time,
mm-hmm.
especially in places like Zest.
Yeah.
And they kind of think that maybe since all of the bouncers were working, like, okay, so there's multiple clubs in Ipswich, right?
Yeah.
And they have all clubs have bouncers.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those bouncers at the end of the day work for the same company of bouncers. And apparently all of those bouncers also dealt the drugs. So maybe there was an altercation with one bouncer, and that would explain how they were able to track Luke's movement because he was walking all around town. And you know how bouncers are like standing outside the club. So they maybe can track and kind of SMS each other. You know what I mean?
So it's like the bouncers tipped each other off?
But then it's a wild, like, kind of goose chase
That's
theory
true.
Right here. But I just wanted to kind of mention that shit. And then on top of that... I would say that, you know, my kind of conclusion here is that Luke Durbin, you know, unfortunately had just was at the bad place at the wrong place at the wrong time, got snatched up by the Volvo, probably is now dead.
Oh, so, yeah, most likely.
So that's where I would be leaning towards in Luke Durbin's disappearance case.
Yeah, me too, actually. But I don't know, I always have this notion that when it comes to drug dealing and gangs, there's no small thing. So if he was a small-time drug dealer and he owed a small amount of money, it's still money. They have to maintain their reputation. People still would have to be scared of them. And yeah.
I mean, this is all alleged. Maybe that Volvo is completely unrelated. But just I just don't see how at this point that Volvo is not related.
Yeah, so. Me too, actually.
So yeah. Just kind of have to put a needle in the coffin in this one. On to the next one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But it's pretty scary how gang members are like so well connected.
Oh yeah.
In every single place. Just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys later. Please leave your comments.
It was a good pod.
Very good. Please leave our comments. Tell us what you think about the case. And we will jump into our next podcast with you guys very soon. See ya. Bye,
See
guys.
Ya.
Bye. Have fun.
That was so quick. See you guys. Bye.